This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
And joining me in the studio today,
Joyce
is
out there.
Welcome to
the
your favourite show, all
Thanks
about pets. Pets Allowed.
Hello, hello. We haven't been on together for ages, have we?
It's been a long,
long time.
It's been a long time, but yeah, looking forward to spending the next hour with you.
Getting ready for the long weekend.
We are indeed. It's the Cup Day long weekend coming up, and I think a lot of people are looking forward to having those nice 4 days off.
And it's been a long time since we had a public holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I always find that here. Forever. Winter is so long.
It's not like the UK where they have, you know, bank holidays
all
leading
the time,
to
and you've got
this
Christmas
and
New Year in the middle of winter, so you get a break. Whereas here it just goes
we
on
work
and
hard
on.
Here.
We do.
We play hard too.
We do.
So, Ellen, what's coming up on the show?
Well, as we were talking, it's the Melbourne Cup long weekend is starting this evening, and you might be looking at ways to escape the hustle and bustle of the races. So this week on Pets Allowed, we're going to look at our top spots to head to with your pets.
Now, what are your favourite places to go with your pets? Do you enjoy splashing at the beach? You should have that opportunity actually this weekend with the great weather. Or do you prefer grabbing a coffee and a bite to eat? Or maybe just the serenity of the bush? Also coming up on the show today,
as Halloween gains momentum here in Australia, we look at keeping your pets safe around candy and trick-or-treaters.
We've got all the highlights from our D6 in the City Part 2 D6ing campaign last week.
That's right. And Donna, who's a veterinarian from the University of Melbourne, she'll be joining us on the line to update us on the last year of vet students working at the home. Not the last year, they'll be back next year, but they've just finished up for this year and they're now all off studying for finals.
Awesome. And we're also going to take a very interesting question from a Pets Allowed listener whose dog has developed a bit of an after meal habit that she wants to combat. Interested? Stick around. We'll be getting to that towards the end of the program.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2,
a look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
Okay, it is that time of the week where we do check out the news that made the Lost Dogs Home website. It sounds like we've got a bit of volume coming out from somewhere else, but anyway, here we go.
Let's carry on.
The ladies at the War Pillar Lodge, Alan, what
happened? That's right. Last month, the home's Campaspe shelter in Echuca enjoyed a visit from a very special group of ladies from the War Pillar Lodge. They came in with hand-knitted gifts of blankets for the dogs and cats and took the opportunity to meet some of the animals that will benefit from their kindness. Many of them had shared their lives with animals in the past and so thoroughly enjoyed seeing the dogs and cats up for adoption. They were also very impressed with the shelter and promised shelter manager Kate Kemp that they will be going back to continuous knitting. The home shelters rely totally on the generosity of the community for donations of blankets, coats and bedding, and we are therefore so grateful for the kind support of wonderful people like the War Pillar ladies.
They're absolutely beautiful, and if you want to see a visual of this, do check out our Facebook page, The Stroh, and there's a lovely photo of them proudly showing their knitted blankets. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
Now, on to entirely different news that's not Lost Dogs Home related, but certainly related to cats. A new trend in New York is cat tattoos, Alan.
Okay.
The rise in popularity of feline ink is thanks almost single-handedly to one Williamsburg tattoo artist, Betty Rose. Kev came across this article where basically she's showing off her tattoos. Rosie's covered in cat tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells the Atlantic tattoos seem a natural way to remember a pet. Rose's second tattoo was one of her own cat's patches. I had her for about 14 years and I just knew I had to memorialize her with a tattoo on her arm. Would you do anything like that?
Would you consider? I don't think so. But it takes all sorts.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose.
You know, I do have a tattoo that has got of two dogs, but it's not my own dogs. It's a Celtic tattoo and it's two dogs from the Book of Kells.
Okay. And when did you get that?
Oh, 1998.
Yeah.
So a long time ago. So it's a bit faded now.
Yeah.
And a bit out of date. Not so trendy.
So you wouldn't update it with, you know, Hector's face, perhaps?
No, definitely not Hector's face. No way.
Yeah, look, you know, photos on the wall is fine, but a permanent image, you know, of your pet, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, if it's, there's some really artistic ones out there. I've seen like watercolour tattoos that look incredible, maybe something along those lines. But it's certainly becoming a trend, apparently, in New York.
And that's where everything starts.
That's right.
This week's Pet of the Week.
Okay, it's that time of the program where we preview one of the pets of the weeks that we have, and our pet of the week this week is Cashew.
That's right, and we have featured Cashew before. Cashew's been with us for quite a bit of time now. She's a mature lady with a well-defined personality. She appreciates a pet and being cuddled when she feels like it, but at other times she's happy to do her own thing. She likes to laze around for most of the day sleeping or sitting somewhere comfortable watching the world go by. So she's a seven-year-old dark tortoiseshell and white cat. Like all our animals, she's health checked, vaccinated, wormed and microchipped, and she's at the North Melbourne shelter at 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne. Her ID number is 971829. You can contact the shelter on 9329 2755 or have a look on dogshome.com.
Yes, come along this weekend and visit Cashew in person. I mean, it's the best way to get to know our shelter animals if you just come along and have some one-on-one time getting to know them.
Yep, and chat to the attendants.
Her animal ID number is 971829, and if you want to check out her profile, visit dogshome.com. Now, held last week, we had a D-Sex in the City campaign. So backed by popular demand, D-Sex in the City, our discounted cat D-Sexing marathon at the Frank Sandways Veterinary Clinic saw cat owners travel from near and far to D-Sex their much-loved cats. Last Thursday, our team of 15 vets, vet clinic staff and the Homes volunteers helped to D-Sex 46 cats, 80% of which were female. Now, Alan, you were there for a lot of the night.
That's right. I wasn't there for as much of it as I'd planned because I went into work about 11 and I'd planned to stay until 6 o'clock in the morning. But a lot of the people who came in earlier on came in by public transport and wanted to wait around and take their animals home that evening. Mm. So by 11 o'clock, I think we only had sort of maybe 13 or 14 left to do. Mm-hmm. So I stayed until probably 2:30, 3 o'clock and then was able to go home.
Oh, that's all right.
Which was, but it meant I went into work on Friday, which I hadn't planned to do. But it was good. It was good fun.
All right. Well, we are going to chat a little bit more about that evening. But first, I think let's have a listen to some of the people that came along with their pets, their cats to be de-sexed at D-Sex in the City.
Hi, I'm Tiana and it's my cat Yoda.
And how did you prep him up for D-Sex in the City tonight? Did you have a bit of a chat?
He was actually hiding in the cupboard. It took us about 20 minutes to find him. Oh, he knew straight up. We told him. We've been saying, you're going to get chopped.
But on a serious note, though, why did you decide to D-Sex in the City?
That's only good pet ownership at the end of the day. There are so many stray cats at where I live because I'm from Melton, and I've got so many male cats that are spraying on the fences and stuff. I don't want him to be one of them.
Okay, Dora, you're sitting here very patiently waiting for three patients inside.
That's right.
Can you tell me who you're waiting for?
Okay, we've got two sisters, Angel and Cleopatra. They're 2 years old. And we've got Princess, which is one of the daughters, and she's 8 months, so...
Oh, they sound like they're spoiled with those names.
Yeah.
So tell me, what was the main motivation for coming here today?
Basically because we're having kittens each time and the kids want to keep each kitten every time, so... And because they're all female, so we need to get them de-sexed. The kids get attached, and so do I, to tell you the truth. We've actually kept one male this time from this litter, so, it's getting pretty hard to maintain.
So from now on, it's enough of the kittens.
That's
you
right.
You enjoy the cats.
Well, that's right, and it's not good for them too, because we've got males left, right and centre that's, actually leaving their marks outside the front door, which is quite horrible for myself. It's not good for them each time. Yeah, and a lot of fighting as well. The poor cats have gone into a few claw marks here and there. So, yeah, it's not good for them.
Well, you're off on a very good foot.
Yeah, that's
once
right.
Once you walk out the clinic today.
That's
Thank
right.
you so much for coming and participating in D-Sex in the City.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, well, it's helped me financially, Doom. And, yeah, thanks for this program, really.
A second time lucky.
Yeah, missed out the first time, so jumped on the phone the second time and were lucky enough to get a spot. So here we are.
And how did you find out about this promotion?
Facebook. Yeah, I saw it on Facebook and thought it was a fantastic idea.
And what does D-Sex in the City mean for you?
Calming her down, unwanted kittens, microchipping obviously to keep track of them. So yeah.
Fantastic.
So that was just an array of the many cat owners that came along to our D-Sex in the City promotion last week.
And it's quite interesting how most of them came because they were worried about kittens and they already had kittens. They were bringing in several generations. And B, they were worried about the effects of stray cats around their
Absolutely.
Houses. They all talked about the same thing. And we kept it to people who had pension cards or healthcare cards, so low-income families. And, you know, perhaps they found it a struggle to have their cats de-sexed anywhere else.
Well, for instance, like Dora, she is a single mother. Mm-hmm. She has two children under the age of 12 and mm-hmm. owns four cats. Mm. And one was de-sexed, but she just couldn't afford to de-sex the other three. So she definitely jumped on the promotion. She actually travelled in by public transport as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, people went to, you know, great lengths to participate
really
in the promotion.
Good. I think it's something as an organisation that we're really keen to promote. Mm. And, you know, all the animals that we adopt out are obviously already de-sexed, but not everyone sources their animals from a shelter. And often they don't think when they take the animal on, or they don't have any choice.
Mm.
You know, they think they're doing a good thing by taking on a kitten, and before they know it, they've got lots more kittens. So hopefully it's something we'll keep doing.
And the other thing there that was really important is that every animal that wasn't microchipped received mm-hmm. a free microchip, which is usually valued at $35, which means, you know, if their cat goes missing, they've got more of a guaranteed return ticket home.
Yeah.
So,
and hopefully it'll, you know, hopefully hearing about it and seeing it on Facebook will encourage more people to go to their local vet clinics and get their cat de-sexed now before it has more babies.
That's right. So all round, it's a really terrific event, and we cannot wait for the next one. I think some little trick or treaters really hit the streets.
Yep.
We're going to keep your pet safe when it comes to Halloween. So do stay tuned for that.
Hi, this is Mike Larkin, and you're listening to Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
Joy sponsor Whoopers World is looking to enlist the help of caring individuals that are happy to share their home and foster a dog for the holidays. The Whoopers Sleepover is a fantastic home boarding service, and minders and owners get all the support they need. Dogs stay in a warm, caring, comfortable home of a loving dog minder, so dogs get all the exercise and care that they would at home. Interested? Call Whoopers on 1300 Bow Wow or visit dogminding.com.au.
Woof, you look good. And you smell good too.
That's cause my human took me to Puppy Love Vic, and wow, what a treat.
Really? Why is that?
I got a haircut, bath, massage, a walk, and some yummy natural treats. They love us there. It's cuddles, not cages.
Oh, sounds great. But my human works late.
That's rough. But they're open after hours and all weekend. Check them out at puppylovevic.com or on Facebook. Why the long pause?
I can't type.
Joy sponsor.
Devils and witches are now a common sight on Australia. On October the 31st.
Trick-or-treating, however, can pose some dangers for many of our pets. To help owners keep their dogs and cats healthy and safe this Halloween, we would like to share a few tips with you now.
That's right. So, keep chocolate and lollies for trick-or-treaters well out of reach of your pet. Chocolate in particular can be toxic to dogs.
That's a pretty obvious one.
Yep.
But yeah, just be vigilant.
Yep.
Make sure, you know, it's up high, it doesn't fall on the ground, because, you know, they like to vacuum. Mm-hmm. So keep it away. If children wish to give pets a special Halloween treat, make sure it's a pet-friendly snack. So maybe have some of those put aside for kids to give them to your pets.
Yep. And consider securing your pet in a safe room or maybe the backyard away from your front door, because many pets can become unsettled and frightened by costumed noisy trick-or-treaters arriving regularly at your house.
Yeah, and securing your pet away from activity will also ensure they don't escape or become lost.
Yeah. Make sure your pets are kept safely away from any Halloween decorations, especially cats, I guess, that one.
Yeah, I mean, we see this during Christmas, don't we, with tinsel.
Yes, and string and plastic.
You've seen cases like that at the clinic of cats that have eaten.
Yes.
And what happens?
Oh, tinsel's really bad. Anything string is really bad because it forms what's called a linear foreign body.
Mm.
And basically the intestines sort of bunch up along it and it can cut through. So it's really nasty.
Can it be fatal if it's really? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so that's a really important thing to keep noted there. Okay, be considerate to your pet. If they're not comfortable wearing a Halloween costume, don't force them to. For those dogs that can tolerate it, make sure the costume is comfortable and doesn't affect their ability to move, see, breathe, and particularly, you know, with the weather being a bit on the warm side, make sure that they're cool, you know.
That's right.
Yep.
And if you decide to take your dog trick-or-treating, make sure an adult is always present and responsible for ensuring the dog is always secure on a lead and is comfortable taking part.
Mm-hmm. And always make sure your pet is microchipped. It's the thing that we bang on about all the time. It's really important. Identify with a microchip and a collar tag. And also make sure that your contact information is up to date, because it's pretty useless if we don't have your contact details. Yeah, then we won't be able to
really
reunite
frustrating.
You.
Really frustrating.
Halloween is a fun time for the family, but we all have the responsibility to keep our pets happy and safe, don't we, Alan?
That's right. And look, kids get really excited at Halloween when there's lots of costumes and lollies and all that kind of stuff going on.
Mm.
And excited, noisy kids and dogs aren't always the best combination. So unless you know your dog is almost bulletproof, I reckon it's probably better somewhere else.
Yeah, and I think, you know, kids get sort of into it. And we do too when we're sort of dressed up and get into character. So the chances of them sort of jumping and surprising your pet is probably more increased, because
they're... It can all be a bit unpredictable.
We've got little witches and ghouls running about. So make sure that, you word up your kids or take the precautions necessary.
That's right.
Alan, are you doing anything for Halloween?
No, I don't think so.
No. Have you been invited to a party? Look, we're so unpopular.
No,
yeah,
I'm,
I haven't been invited as well.
So I'm just looking for... I'm glad it's Cup Weekend, because I've got 4 days off. I actually got in months ago and booked Monday off before anyone else did, because I always forget about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So 5 o'clock today. I'm off until Wednesday.
Well, look, coming up next, Kev caught up with Donna Scott from the University of Melbourne to get an update on the last year of vet student rotations at the Lost Dogs Home. We're going to hear all about it, and then also talk about what you can do for your Cup Day weekend if you want to avoid the races, if that's not your cup of tea. All really good stuff, so stay tuned.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
And all throughout today's program, it's a bit of a mixed bag. We're looking at a range of topics.
That's right. So the Lost Dogs Home has had a partnership with the University of Melbourne School of Veterinary Science for a long, long time, but it's become much more important over the last 2 academic years, because we've actually been part of each student's final year of rotation. So they come for 2 weeks a year and they basically learn to do surgery.
It's awesome. It really sort of sets them up for the rest of their
It's
careers.
Really, really important. Yeah. So previous to this, many vets would qualify and they may only have done 1, 2, or even a half a surgery
really?
When they qualify. And there's really no sort of official probation period for vets. So once you graduate and you're out in practice. So it's good for vets and animals, and it's win-win all around.
All right. Well, let's find out a little bit more. Kev caught up with Donna Scott, a veterinarian from the University of Melbourne, to see how the last year of the program has gone at the Lost Dogs Home.
Joining me on the line and taking time out from her very busy schedule is Donna Scott, veterinarian from the University of Melbourne. Thank you for joining us on Pets Allowed today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Donna, can you give us a bit of an idea and an overview of the program? What is a typical day like for the students when they're working at the shelter?
Sure. So we more or less have the final year vet students doing 2 weeks within the year of their, like I said before, their final year. So a normal day for them is meeting their patients and doing a general health exam. So that includes sort of heart rate, temperature, those sorts of things. If they're happy with the examination, they then go on to sedate the animal, get them ready for surgery. And we have 2 students that are on the case. So one does the anesthetic The other does the surgery from beginning to end, and then they basically recover them after that. Pretty hands-on, and it is a big operation, so it sort of prepares them for day one skills in the vet clinic.
So how many surgeries have the students completed over the last year, and what kind of surgeries are they?
They've done almost 900 surgeries last year.
Wow.
So that's a lot of animals that have now been desexed, which is good. And roughly they do sort of cat bay and neuters and dog bay and neuters. So usually for the first rotation, we just sort of get them used to doing surgery. So we don't give them sort of the big dog stays that for the second rotation.
Yep.
But yeah, that's roughly what they get to do.
And what is the response like from the students?
The response has been overwhelmingly positive. We've been doing it now for 2 years, and a really good rotation, one of their favorites, in that they are in an environment where they get to, you know, build a lot of confidence and get to do very much the hands-on sort of stuff. So it's not just, you know, reading a book and getting tested. It's real-life situations of, you know, the animals and real-life surgery. So it's a very invaluable sort of rotation for them.
And why do you think it's so important for the students to get that experience and get the experience working in an animal shelter as well?
You know, I think it's very, very good of the Lost Dogs to have us in there, in that it's great for the students. I think the first thing they notice is just the sheer numbers that come through, even in a week, and just being aware of, you know, responsible pet ownership. That's something that we really want to sort of drive home with them, that that's an issue and something that we as vets need to be aware of. And it's also, I think, you know, if nothing else, these animals don't really have a home, and so we need to be more mindful of that and be very careful and sort of taking time and reassuring these patients. And I think it's really nice for them to see it sort of beginning to end, and seeing their, you know, their animals getting adopted out and, you know, a happy ending at it all, at the end of it all.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, just sort of the hands-on experience is really good as well.
And for you personally, Donna, how do you find the experience of working with so many different students over the year?
It's really nice, actually. It's kind of nice. I feel like I really get to know them very well during the week, and it's really nice to see them sort of grow throughout the year. You know, when they first do their rotation, I think they're so nervous and so worried about even doing, you know, a surgery, whereas the second rotation, they seem to get a lot more out of it just because their confidence has grown that much more throughout the year. And it's really great to kind of see them at the end of the year too, you know, getting jobs and, you know, just seeing that final step that they're taking in becoming a veterinarian. It's an honor to teach a lot of them, because they really are, you know, great people and going to make really good veterinarians as well. So
fantastic. Well, Donna, thank you so much for joining us on Pets Aloud today. It's been a pleasure.
Anytime.
That there was Kev catching up with Donna Scott from the University of Melbourne to find out more about our program for final vet students, final year vet students.
Yeah.
Now, Alan, this is a terrific program that's seen 900 surgeries conducted. I mean, they're helping us out as well.
Oh, definitely. I mean, so there's 120 students or so. But yeah, so they're certainly doing 5, 6, something like that, each, 7 each, which is really, really good. It's a lot of people in one place in a small area, I've got to say. And it's really funny this week going into work when they're not there.
Mm.
You can think, oh, my God, you know, there's lots of, what do I do? I've got all this. But we get on really well. You know, the students are all really mature.
Yeah.
And it's great for them. It's great for the animals.
It's an invaluable experience.
Yes. Yeah,
and totally. And you can vouch for that. You went through a similar sort of program.
A kind of similar thing way, you know, years ago at the University of London, we had a similar clinic in Camden, where we went once I think it was 1 week a semester, one week a term, in third year and final year to learn to consult and do some surgery. And it's really, really important. But I suppose back, you know, when I went to uni, there were 60 people in my year.
Mm.
In 1 year at University of London now, there are, I think, 250 students. So it makes it, you know, difficult. Once the classes get larger, it becomes really hard to provide that real quality teaching, which is what we do, you know.
It's awesome.
It's very good.
And it's been great listening to it. And they'll be back next year from March, I presume?
They start back the first week of January.
Oh, vet students don't sleep.
They don't. No, they don't.
That's awesome. Coming up, we'll be looking at places to go and things to do if you want to escape the hustle and bustle of the horse racing this spring carnival. Can't wait. Stick around.
Joy 94.9, the freshest sounds from around the world.
Want to learn more about radio or audio editing? We're looking for people to join our team as program audio producers responsible for podcasting Joy 94.9's diverse range of weekly programs. Get involved, meet new people, and learn new skills. Join the biggest community radio contributor of podcasts by volunteering for Joy's program production team. All skill levels are welcome. No prior knowledge of audio production is required. Training is free for Joy members. Visit the volunteer vacancies page at joy.org.au for more info. The Joy 94.9 program production team, powering Joy podcasts. Any show, anytime, online, joy.org.au.
There's something kind of big happening this weekend, this long weekend in the form of Melbourne Cup. But if that's not your cup of tea, if you'd rather get away, we've got some tips for you today, haven't we?
We do.
Ellen, so where should people head to?
Well, Gardiners Creek. The Gardiners Creek Trail is a shared use path for cyclists and pedestrians, which follows Gardiners Creek through the eastern suburbs of Melbourne. Creeks and a small lake for swimmers, lovely bush tracks and some wide open spaces. It's off lead at Gardiners Reserve and Ashwood Reserve.
That sounds nice. I quite like dog beaches. Mm-hmm. So if your dog is partial to a frolic along the sand and a splash in the water, then why not head down to one of the few dog beaches located around Melbourne? Remember to check out the local council because that's very important as to where dogs are permitted. So there are a lot of beaches that have designated areas for dogs
as well.
So check out your council's website or give them a bell. But Altona Beach is a good one. Brighton Dog Beach is another. And they're only a short drive from the city and they have plenty of space, for you to sort of lay out your picnic rug and for your dogs to have a bit of a run around.
And St Kilda as well.
And St Kilda.
But only at the Elwood end, near the skate park.
Yeah, and then you can go for a little strut down at Ackland Street.
You can. And you can go to the Peanut Farm Oval.
You could.
A good dog park.
Yes.
Anyway, other good dog parks, Gasworks Park. Gasworks Park is bordered by Graham, Pickle, Richardson and Foot Streets in Albert Park. Mm-hmm. Dogs are permitted off lead and the park has a playground, barbecue, picnic tables, drinking fountains, public artworks and an indigenous vegetation trail to explore. And if you're on the other side of the river, Yarra Bend Park, dogs are permitted in most areas of the park but must be kept on a leash in certain areas and kept out of dog exclusion areas, which includes the two golf courses. Yarra Bend Park is the largest area of natural bushland near the heart of Melbourne. The park features steep river escarpments, open woodlands, playing fields and golf courses.
That sounds good. If you want to pack the car and head out on the road, there's a couple of places that you can go to. Mount Macedon Dogs are permitted in the park. I didn't know this at Mount Macedon, but most must be kept on leash at all times. So the Mount Macedon ranges from the southern end of Victoria's Great Dividing Range and feature a diverse range of natural and cultural features. The park protects forested land along the ridge of the range and offers great opportunities for bushwalking, scenic drives and picnics. The other destination where you can pack the car and head out with your dogs is Yuyang's. It's open from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. During daylight savings. The distinctive granite peaks of the Yuyang's rise from the flat volcanic plains between Melbourne and Geelong. The park is also popular for its magnificent views, naturally, bird life and for bushwalks and picnics. Dogs are welcome in the park but must be kept on leash or lead as well.
And back in the city, Abbotsford Convent, which is just 4 kilometres from the CBD. It has 11 historic buildings, gardens, car parks, 6.8 hectares in the sweeping bend in the Yarra River. And also, well, you've got Collingwood Children's Farm and Yarra Bend Park, which we talked about. There are artist studios and creative spaces for writers and designers, spaces for arts organisations, spaces for rehearsal and development, indoor and outdoor function spaces, a school, radio station, a bakery, cafes, restaurants, bars and loads, loads more. And your dog is welcome on the lead.
It's actually
that
one
like
of
a whole weekend.
It does. We've mapped out the next few weekends, all the weekends for the remainder of the year for you here on Pets Allowed. But I love Abbotsford Convent. It's such a great institution and a really great space to spend some time with your friends and your pooch. But remember to always ensure that your dog is also having a good time. You might be enjoying yourself a lot, but, you know, make sure that your dog is having as much fun, particularly if you're heading out for a walk or a hike. Consider packing a first aid kit and ensure you have plenty of water available for them.
And yourself.
And yourself. Stay hydrated.
Yeah. And, yeah, check the weather on the day. Don't go walking in the hottest part of the day if it's going to be very hot.
It's such an obvious statement, but, you know, you can sort of do it without thinking. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, let's do it. You get caught up and then you realise, oh, it's a bit hot and I'm not prepared. So make sure you're prepared. Okay, this is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. We have provided your itinerary for the weekend. We've told you all you need to know about keeping your pet safe during Halloween. Now, we've got a question from a Pets Allowed listener we got during the week. Michelle from Ringwood has quite a bit of a question for you, Alan. So keep your ears peeled. My 10-year-old D-sex Labrador Bronson has now developed quite an unusual habit. After every meal, breakfast and lunch, he can't stop humping his bed. And it's not just his bed. Our other dog's bed gets the same treatment from him. Is there anything we can do, Dr. Allen? He's had surgery in June to remove a tumour from his brain. Could this be the cause?
It could well be. I mean, I've got to say, not many dogs have brain tumours removed, so I'm not a huge expert in this area. But certainly, it may well have been an effect of the tumour or the effect of removing it, because obviously you're going to cause a bit of damage or bruising, and it very, you know, specific areas of the brain obviously have very specific behavioural implications. So it could well be. Normally that sort of between dogs, that sort of humping behaviour is a dominance thing rather than a sexual thing.
Okay.
So it's just kind of showing who's top dog. Mm-hmm. But I guess one thing that also came to mind was it may be a kind of what we call a displacement activity, so which dogs do when they're stressed. So often they yawn or they look away or they'll scratch or they'll chew their feet. And if he spent a long time in hospital having the tumour removed and a lot of time recovering, he may have come home and just be a little bit unsettled. So I'm not really sure, but those are my options.
But yeah, it sounds like there could be a number of things that maybe she can look into. You know, if it's been a stressful, you know, couple of months or so forth, how to change that perhaps in the household.
And also talk to the vet who did the surgery. Obviously, they're a specialist and they'll know what exactly bits of the brain were affected and whether it may be an ongoing thing.
Okay. Well, hopefully, Michelle, we've helped you there with your question. If you do have any questions for Dr. Allen, you can always stay in touch with us. Visit our podcast page at joy.org.au/petsallowed to keep in touch with us.
Hi, I'm Chris Furno from Joy's member services team. Joy is a unique volunteer radio station. We deliver radio with passion. Our purpose is to entertain and educate, to provide a voice for our diverse gay and lesbian communities, and to celebrate our culture, achievements and pride 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We do this only with your support. Plus, you can have a voice in the direction of the station. Help keep Joy on air and be a part of our vibrant family with a Joy membership. Join now via our secure online payment link at joy.org.au or phone 1300 JOY 949.
This is Dog Date, your pet's community calendar.
Yes, we're going to tell you what's coming up on your dog's calendar.
That's right. So Bayside Pet Expo is on Sunday the 9th of November. So that's not this Sunday, but next Sunday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Royal Avenue Park, Sandringham. Come along and talk to local vets, behaviourists and other experts. Speak to adoption agencies about the process of adopting a new pet. Enhance your pet's well-being and treat your pets to a variety of products, services, gourmet food and treats. Bring your pet along to join the fun. National Pet Register will be providing discounted microchips, cats and dogs, for $25 per pet. Bookings and prepayment are essential and must be made before the event by visiting www.petregister.com.au/events or by phoning 1300 734 738.
And just quickly, Best Friends are running Halloween events. Best Friends have helped us adopt out over 2,000 kittens in the last few years, and they'll be running some great Halloween events at their superstores around town. Events include pet photography, face painting, costume and trick competitions, parades, the lot. So check it out, bestfriendspets.com.au. It's almost time to wrap up the show, but let's remind listeners of our Pet of the Week.
So it was Cashew, a 7-year-old domestic short-haired tortoiseshell cat. Her ID number is 971829. You can see her at dogshome.com.
Beautiful. Well, we hope you had you enjoyed Pets Loud this week. Don't forget to walk your dogs.
And pat your cats.
This is Joy 94.9.
Pets Loud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.